Okay, welcome to episode one of Coy's Boys, which is
that's right.
It's gonna be about the Tottenham Hotspurs for sure.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But then who knows what it'll turn into because this is only episode one.
Uh huh. Okay. Let me try an intro because here's what I think the show is. Okay. Welcome to Coy's Boys, a Tottenham Hotspur podcast.
That's and really only about that and nothing else.
Yeah. Because what it's else is there to talk this is, about?
Well, this is our new career. So, like, it's hard to say, like, which way the winds will take
well,
us.
Our
like,
new career
what if
will
suddenly
be
this
Tottenham.
Is going to be about, I want to learn about be. Another club or, like, okay, I'm watching no. these hot Spurs. I'm watching
this,
some hot Spurs
show,
action. And I'm like, oh, I have
your...
a wandering eye. And I suddenly find myself rooting for a Leicester City or a lesser city.
A lesser Maybe city I... would be Leicester City. So here's what I think. This is what the show is to me. It's a show where we're covering Tottenham. And by the end of this year, every single time that we record, I'll ask you if you are fully Coy's. And then you'll tell me at the end if you, you know, we're on the zero
I
to
see,
fully
I see
Coy's
faded,
you are.
Faded face paint that you had on for the game yesterday. It looks
so
like
right
tears
now,
are streaming down because it was a draw. You didn't
right
win.
Right now
they
you're,
didn't win the
you're
match.
Not fully Coy's. You're not even a little Coy's. I don't even think you're a quarter Coy's. Me, I'm fully
I'm not
Coy's.
A coiter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have a goiter, a goiter, which is a hot spur cyst growing on your back.
The cyst is hot.
Yes.
So this show's for really it's for Premier League fans, but specifically Tottenham fans. We're gonna discuss my favorite team, the Tottenham Hotspur.
And potentially mine, but we're not there yet. I need to find out, guess and check, taste, sample the beautiful table that's set before me, which is 20 clubs plus however many get honestly promoted next year because there's a bunch of clubs that are just borrowing,
three promoted
stealing.
Next year. Right.
Oh, really? It's just three exactly?
Yeah, three, and then three will leave. So you have to be careful who you like because Leicester just got promoted this year. You might fall in love with them. You love them, but then... You know, they lose most of their games and then they're relegated. They're back down. You're not going to watch Champions League football.
I forgot while watching this match, which we'll get into, of course, that Leicester City was the one that was like a huge underdog 10 years ago and won the whole darn thing.
Yeah, I think the 2015-2016 season or something like that. They came out of
that
nowhere.
Was like, it was won. The most unlikely underdog story in sports history.
Yeah, that was, and it was actually probably the last good chance that Tottenham had to win the title. I think that year, I wasn't a fan back then, but I think they maybe came in second that year, and they should have won the league. I think it was like they got beaten by Chelsea in the last day or something to give it to Leicester. I'm not exactly sure, but anyway, I guess there's some history there. So if you are a Premier League fan, if you're a Tottenham fan, or if you're just curious about the Premier League, it's easier than ever to watch. It's on NBC. It's on Peacock.
I watched this game on USA, which is a channel I used to watch Weird Science on Saturday nights, right before Duckman. So I'm like, okay, let me dust off USA. I haven't seen this channel
also,
in 25 years.
It was free
years.
On Tubi. And it's also kind of convenient. Like, it's not like baseball or basketball where there's just kind of games on constantly. You can plan your life around it. There's essentially one, sometimes two games a week.
So it's sort of like
very
the NFL.
Easy to watch. Yeah, but it's usually in the morning, on the weekend.
Much like the
very
NFL.
Very pleasant, very pleasing. So without further ado, let me give a little recap for those who missed the game.
If you missed the game,
earlier.
We don't want you here.
Okay. So should I not read the recap?
I don't want your life slash
you,
patronage.
Actually, you missed the game.
I didn't catch the first half.
Yeah, you had a DVR'd, which I think is actually maybe the saddest way to watch a 1-1 draw.
Well, another great thing about watching the Premier League is that nothing will get spoiled for me. Like, I'm not in that world at all.
Right,
there's
no text
threads.
I could
still watch half the games that happen on Sunday. Like, I don't know what happened in the other matches.
Exactly. Well, what happened yesterday, everybody, the Spurs campaign kicked off on Monday to a frustrating start. A 1-1 draw at King Power Stadium, where the visiting side, Tottenham, was lacking power in the final third. Our lads dominated possession with 15 shot attempts, 7 on target, and just about all of those directly at the keeper. Pedro Porro scored with his head in the 29th minute on a delicious James Madison ball, and the score was 1-0. Tottenham should have and could have run away with it after that, but missed chances from Dominic Solanke and Rodrigo Bentancur meant that Jamie Vardy's header in the 57th minute tied the game instead of acted as a consolation goal in a 5-1 defeat. A gruesome head injury for Rodrigo Bentancur in the second half allowed Leicester to grow into the game and led way to Big Ange subbing off most of his midfield. The young guns came in and the tweens kept their heads for the most part, but the Spurs never really threatened another goal until Richarlison blasted a header wide on the final set piece as the sly foxes at Leicester were able to hold on, outfoxing the Spurs. A point will be shared but not enjoyed by either team in this match. Come on, you Spurs! What?
Was it so beautiful? A word to say edgewise. I couldn't get in.
I just needed to let everyone listening who missed the game know what happened in the game. So now, why are you crying? We can discuss the whole entire game now.
What's the point? Jesus. You fucking laid out the entire thing.
Well, yeah, now
I guess that's
the
end
details.
Of the episode.
No, it's not the end of the episode. We talk about the details. Tell me what you took away from the game. What did you think of the starting lineup?
I had food poisoning.
Yeah, you did. And you still do.
Don't know who's supposed to start / who did start. So that didn't really affect me either way.
All right. So two interesting pieces. One, Deki, a.k.a. Dejan Kulishevsky, who usually plays a winger, sometimes midfield, typically a starter, played all of the preseason games, played very well, was left on the bench. And also brand new signing, Dominic Solanke from Bournemouth, who scored 19 goals in the Premier League last season. We just acquired him. I think maybe a record signing for the Spurs to sign a striker. Started over Richarlison, who was the preferred striker for last year. So started despite not really having any time playing with the team. I think he's maybe, you know, practiced with the team a few times, but didn't play in any of the preseason with Tottenham. Thoughts?
I wouldn't have started them, but at the same time, I don't know who they are. So it's hard for me to say, like, this person should be above the other person. It's
What did you make of Dominic Solanke, the striker?
Solanke? He's so lanky. Which one was
he's
him.
He's bigger than I thought he was going to be. You don't know which one he is.
I only saw the goal scorer who has his full name on the jersey for some reason. Explain
Pedro
that
Porro.
To me. Yeah.
Got to be a Portuguese thing.
You choose whether you want your first name, your last name, or just the whole damn thing over there? Porro?
I think it's a cultural thing. There's a lot of Brazilian players who have like their first names on there.
I was watching another player just said Justin on the back.
Right, exactly. There was Brian Heal, who's from Spain last year, was on the team, and his jersey just said Brian. So,
is there no order? Like, the Premier League will let you write whatever the hell you want on the back over there?
I mean, I think so. I'm sure that, you know, it has to have some bearing in where you're from.
Yeah, but some your kind full of norm. Name. It's tacky.
Yeah.
It's a little tacky.
What'd you think of the goal?
The goal was great. And it came in at a time where I thought this team should be up 5 at this point. Every opportunity fucked up, missed. Corner kick after corner kick. I'm starting to think those kicks aren't actually as valuable as we think. We're always like, how many corners can you get? I never rarely see one actually go in, let alone a kick into a header into a goal. It's always like there's a scramble in front of the goal and somebody scores seemingly by accident.
I think there were 15 corner kicks. Spurs don't often score from corners as much as they used to when Harry Kane was on the field.
Well, let me pitch you a different word for that. A scorner kick. That's when a corner kick goes in for a goal. So how many scorners did Scorners. The Spurs get this week?
Let me tell you one of my pitches. I don't know if you remember the guy that came on towards the end of the game, Timo Werner.
Is that the guy with the blue hair?
Yeah. No, it's not the guy with the blue hair. He's a blonde German man, plays on the wing. Timo Werner, I always say when he gets a corner, I call it a Werner Kerner. And if he earns the corner, then he earn a Werner Kerner. So there's something there.
Can any player kick the corner, or is it the player closest to the ball that went out of bounds?
No, they have a designated corner kicker. James Madison took all the corners. You'll see on either the left or the right when he was in the game.
Madison, the fourth president of America, takes corners.
Madison, previously of the Leicester City Foxes, actually, takes the corners. It's Madison with two Ds.
I see. There was no love lost between these two teams, especially that guy who scored for Leicester City, who ended up
Jamie
sort of
Vardy.
He sort of trolled the Spurs as he was coming off the field there.
Yes. I believe
what's his problem?
He's just an angry old school soccer player, footballer. He's 37 years old, almost as old as me. He's a dinosaur. I believe he still drinks like two Red Bulls before the games. He's
That's
just
awesome.
Like of the Wayne Rooney era, but still playing in this new Premier League and still
same
pretty
team.
Lethal when it counts.
Was on the team that won the championship.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why he trolled the Tottenham fans by pointing to his armband and raising up one finger and then pointing to the away fans and holding up a zero. As in,
so
they
like,
haven't.
I
won.
Got one. Y'all haven't.
Right. Exactly.
That's also a very like basketball troll. Like, don't talk. It's a very rings culture. Don't talk to me unless you got four. Oh, yeah. I got four.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I got five. Oh, yeah. Well, that's not good enough. I got six. But he's saying I have one and you guys have zero, which is
right. And I think,
you know,
Spurs have been around since the 1800s. So they think they do have several. But I guess they don't have any in recent memory. And he won one. So.
Yeah,
nobody
in his lifetime.
Nobody in the fan section have that. They can't do that.
When was the last time the Spurs won a championship?
Oof. I think it might... Let me look it up. I think it might be the 80s or 90s.
Oh, so we were alive. It was in our lifetime. I'm trying to like think of what like the football, baseball, basketball equivalent is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have these fans been suffering for 80
actually,
years?
Pretty recently. Took the season... Oh, wait, Jesus, no, hold on.
1843.
This article said 2005-06, but it says 05-06 to even finish in the league's top six. It looks like 1992.
Okay.
Tottenham have not won the Premier League in its current form, following the breakaway from the Football League in 1992. Okay, so they've never won the league since it's been the Premier League.
Got it. So we're dealing with like, you know, not in my lifetime level fandom over here.
A common refrain for people that hate Tottenham is that we don't win anything. We don't have any trophies. We don't win the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup, the Champions League. We don't win the Premier League.
And this seemed to be a game that they should have won.
Yeah, this is a game that's very reminiscent of last season, where we'll have 70% possession, we will keep the ball in the opponent's half, but never really do anything that looks that threatening. A lot of like half chances, a lot of like, you know, looking for the perfect goal. We're in the opponent's box, and rather than shoot, we try to pick out one more pass and get dispossessed, or sometimes when you have a man open, somebody will take an errant shot. But you are watching Ange Postecoglou, the current Tottenham coach, has
Australian
injected, an Australian who's like injected the team with this kind of like possession attacking football. The last few years they've played under Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho, who are like coaches who don't care about possession. They're happy to grind out a 1-0 win. playing on the counterattack, which was awful football to watch because it's just watching your team absorb pressure for 60 minutes, hoping that at one point they can spring and just sneak a goal into the opponent's net. Yeah. And then often...
It seems like that's how a worse team has to stretch. It's like in the NBA, it's like, we're not that good, so we're just going to shoot 73s. And if we make half of them, we'll win. So it's like, you guys can beat us up, but maybe one time we'll do a counterattack and score, and that's the only way we can win.
It's a lot of like what you see in the World Cup. You'll see like, you know, teams just defending against their goal and then kick a long ball over all the defenders and just hope that one of their fast guys can like break
through. A Hail Mary offense.
Every play is a Hail Mary. But with Ange, we're playing possession football, so you're seeing a lot of passes. You're seeing a lot of like forward momentum, link-up play. I mean, James Madison, I don't know if you noticed, but he was very creative. The head of all of our attacking plays. But there just wasn't that killer mentality at the right when it counted in front of the net, you know?
Yeah, Leicester City had like one chance and scored a goal. Tottenham had like 15 and scored a goal. And then it was sort of, it seemed like Leicester City was happy to come out of that game with a draw. And the Spurs were sad to have drawn.
Yeah, there was something too, like Leicester is, they just came up from being relegated. It's their opening at home, their welcome back to the Premier League. Their fans were so into it and so loud. And Tottenham had like control of the game. They went ahead. If they had just put one more goal in the net, I think Leicester would have just, they would have hung their heads.
Yeah.
But like allowing that, Jamie Vardy, like that draw made that whole entire stadium come to life. And then it felt like Tottenham was like caving under that pressure. Like there were, I think there were two more chances. Vardy easily could have scored two more goals. There were two more chances. He had one
that looked offside. He was wide open. He like snuck behind the defense. But I guess when you don't score, they don't really analyze the offsides of it all.
Yeah, offside. Yeah, it might have been offside, but I don't even think that was offside. I think
it was like Romero one-on-one with the goalie.
Yeah. You basically had a one-on-one shot it, not even right at. Vicario just made a pretty good save. It could have gone a little further away from him, I guess. And then the other one where he like was through and he miscontrolled it and Romero was able to recover.
So if he was offsides and missed this goal anyway, do they stop and look or they're like, it doesn't matter. He didn't score.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't matter.
Only look if they score.
Yeah, they would. Right. Exactly. There's not really a reason to look if he doesn't score. Sometimes it's kind of frustrating because they'll be like you marginally offside. The goalie like makes a save and it would go into a corner kick. But if they had reviewed, then he should have been offside.
Right. Or what if it's egregiously offsides and he just catches the ball and he hasn't shot yet? Will they stop the play or they literally only stop it if he scores a goal?
They will sometimes stop the play if he's egregiously offsides. But like at this point, they're supposed to, even if they think that they're offside, they're supposed to let the whole play continue because with the way VAR reviews everything, like it does catch sometimes, you know, somebody way up the pitch, their pinky is over the line and like technically the guy is onside. So
what if another guy is offsides, but the guy who catches the ball is onsides? Is that still no goal?
As long as the guy that's offside isn't involved in the play at all. Like there are sometimes when a guy is offside and just standing in the goalie's eye line of the shot. Yeah. So it's like, oh, he interfered. Even though he didn't touch the ball, he was like in the line of sight. So that's offside. But if somebody's just like completely
offside.
Sort of
a trick play, have a second guy that's totally offsides so that the defense like, this guy's offsides. What are you guys doing? Like he's mentally interfering with the game, but he's not actually doing anything.
Right.
Like,
that's kind of interesting.
A fucking guy in the corner and it's just like, what's that guy doing? Why is that guy? That guy's offsides. You can't do that. And then all of a sudden the guy who has the ball is actually in the play. He's onsides. He scores. And they're like, well, that shouldn't have counted because this guy's offsides. Meanwhile, that guy's not even celebrating the fucking kick. He's not even happy that they scored because his whole point is to just stand in the corner looking fucking odd. he has to just stand there and look odd.
He's off. He's weird.
He's off and he's offsides.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a guy in the corner who's old and short.
You could be a set
piece
coach. And you could be a set piece coach. I could see
and
that.
And is that a normal, is that a type of assistant, just a guy who draws up set pieces?
Yeah, there's a whole thing around Tottenham actually does not employ a set piece coach. And there was a lot of talk about them being vulnerable from set pieces. A lot of the goals they conceded last year were from corners and dead ball situations. And then other teams that, you know, are in the front of the leagues in leading and scoring from set piece situations all do employ a set piece coach.
Yeah, it seems like if you're the only team without a set piece coach, that's fine, because all you have to do is steal the best set pieces from every other team. So like every day I'll look at the highlights and be like, that's a good set piece, got one.
Right.
I can see it.
They're insanely intricate now, to the point where, like, you know, somebody's entire job is to just like move, you know, 1 foot to your right, so you block whoever is going to come in and try to cover this other guy. You know, like they're drawn up like football plays, like American football plays.
Yes. Or like they call it a slob plays in basketball, sideline out of bounds. They're specialist coaches. Like, this guy draws up a really good sideline out of bounds. Oh my God, what a pick. Off ball, scored.
Yeah.
He was wide open. It's like, okay, now we know. Now any team can do that. They saw what it is. It's five guys moving in a very specific way. So like there needs to be one good sideline out of bounds, one good set piece coach. And then everyone else can just fucking
copy. Yeah.
It's a copycat league. It's absolutely a copycat league.
And there should be a guy that's offsides. There should be an offsides
guy. Soccer can steal from basketball. It's all the same movement. It's all the same play. If you can score a layup, you could score a goal. There's no fucking difference.
So for you, what were the highlights of the game? What were the positives? What did you enjoy?
I only like the goals.
Okay.
So the goals.
There wasn't a lot for you to love here, because there were only two goals. There should have been more.
Pretty good. I noticed the announcer didn't get very excited when the Spurs scored. Did you notice that? Was that your announcer too?
I did not really notice that. I think because I was so excited, so I wasn't really listening.
So it was like a goal. He's like, yeah, and they're finally through. I'm like, that's like the most exciting thing in soccer is the goal, and you're talking about it. Like, yeah, they scored.
The kind of the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Goal.
Where's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't really have that. Sometimes they do. If they had scored in the final, in that final opportunity, maybe they would have.
I guess it was the most standard kind of goal.
Yeah. And it had been coming. There were so many shots. You were like kind of wondering how they hadn't scored yet. So it wasn't really like there's a goal. It was kind of like, oh, okay. I thought there would have been five of these already.
Yeah. And then the other goal was also a header, right? It was like another classic normal kick up corner or header down into the ground.
Right.
Also, not as far as goals are concerned, probably the most boring kind of goal.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like headers can definitely be exciting goals. Neither of those.
Headers into the ground?
Jamie Vardy's header was not that exciting.
That's not fun to do. Like, how do you even practice that? Just like
there's so much to it. Like, cuz
hit it into the ground with your neck.
Yeah. Into the ground, basically the one spot where Vicario wasn't ready for it, you know, that's directly down, bounced right at his feet and in. Nothing he could do about it. That's kind of fun. That's interesting. And Pedro Porro's, as he's running, a glancing header to the opposite side of the net. That's pretty impressive.
That one was better for sure.
For sure.
The game ends and it's a draw. Are you kind of disappointed? Like it's a loss, or you're like, okay, at least we didn't lose.
I was disappointed like it was a loss. Trying to take the positives from it, I thought James Maddison, who gave Pedro Porro his assist, last year he had one of the best starts to a season. He was incredible. Then he got injured and he kind of fell off, and people were wondering, will Maddison regain his form, drop from the England squad? But I thought that he looked like his old true self yesterday. So I thought that was really exciting. But aside from, and I think I would also, I feel like I've given Richarlison 2 years of the benefit of the doubt. And he's missed a lot more chances than Solanke. So I think just that his attempts were for the most part on target, I like that, and I feel like there's going to be some positive momentum there. I thought everybody played well and we should have scored more. But facing a team that just got relegated, even at their own stadium, you feel like you want to come away.
It's a trap game. It's a trap game.
You want to come away.
You wanted a point. You really wanted a point.
I wanted 3 points. We got a point. I would have. And by the end, I was like, we should win this game. I wasn't, at the very least, I wasn't worried that Leicester were going to win at any point.
No, yeah. It definitely felt like the best possible scenario was for a draw to happen for Leicester City, and it happened that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's next on the schedule? Who do they play next and when?
This coming Saturday, and folks can watch at home, and they should, Tottenham will be, I believe it's their home opener against Everton.
And this is the stadium that I went to in May. Same stadium, that's, right?
Yes, yes. White Hart Lane, exactly.
The one that I was not allowed into until half. Until,
yeah. My ticket
was void.
Out you were good luck because I believe it was Mickey Van de Ven scored the winner in the second half. Is that correct?
Yeah, and he was in the game this week as well, right? He's still on the team.
Certainly, certainly.
Mickey is my friend still.
Yeah. There was also, I thought, you know, concerning that Bentancur got that head injury that was so bad that they wouldn't even replay it.
Yeah, that was pretty un-American. Usually in football, the NFL, they're like, all right, take a look at this. His leg goes backwards, and then let's take a look at it again. Yeah, just really goes wrong way. And
they're always willing to
Premier League,
show you,
they're like, let's not look. Let's not look. It's really, it's not
But
nice.
It's always the head injuries, because like they'll show you when somebody's leg bends the wrong way. They find that to be fine. It's the, I mean, he was knocked unconscious. I saw a video on Twitter. He's just like, goes up for a header at the same time as somebody else, completely knocked in the head, and he just falls down limp. Like a rag doll, and like lies like, face down.
Come run. When he's dead.
When you see all of the entire team just like frantically waving the medics staff on there, you're
the
like, that's not
team
good.
Too. Yeah.
Horrifying too, because I think it wasn't last year, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago, it was the exact same field, King Power Stadium, where he got a terrible ACL injury that took him out for a year.
Cursed field.
He should never play at Leicester again. And until that moment, he was looking great. He had the shot that he should have put away, but you know, looking like his old self too.
Another un-American thing, I couldn't tell who the home team was, because the fields are all just
green
and the same. We need to add colorage signage to midfield and or the box. Imagine if the box was like the end zone. It was blue and it said LC. Mm. Or on the side, it said whatever. Mm-hmm. Does every team have a mascot? Like Leicester City Lions or some shit?
Well, they're the Foxes. Some teams have mascots and some don't. Some are.
It's
Tottenham doesn't really have a mascot. They're kind of a Gamecock. They're called the Lily Whites.
Yeah.
But
we need signage
like Man
on
City,
the field.
I don't think they have one. The Blues.
Yeah. I can't tell who the home team is.
The bigger stadiums definitely have signage in the stands where you can tell.
See it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like, definitely. Why not paint something onto the grass? Is that like considered not British? Like how Wimbledon, you have to wear all white and it's like grass and it's pristine. Uh-huh. They're like, this is how we treat our soccer fields.
We'd have to have somebody. We'd have to get somebody who's been a fan for longer than me on the pod to answer that.
Or you can go full college football blue grass. Have you ever seen that? Like the Boise State Stadium, the grass is blue.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't want to see that. That would be obnoxious, I think. You don't want this. Football is good because it's not American. This, you know, soccer football. That's kind of like. In any American sport, any time during that Rodrigo's head injury, they would have cut to a commercial.
Yeah, picture in picture. Ooh, are hungry? Why wait? Grab a Carl's Jr. double bacon cheeseburger. Use this
code.
Cut
away.
Scan the
we
QR
don't cut
code.
Away. Yeah. We won't show the head injury, but we don't cut away from the field.
Are you concerned?
We'll show you all the concerned
Advil.
Looking. Yeah. Sonny is crying. We'll show you that. That's good.
Yeah, he was crying. He was upset. He didn't want to see his friend die on the pitch like that.
Yeah, but he was okay. He's communicating. He's chatting.
Any update on that injury? How long do we usually wait for this stuff? Something like that.
Ange said that he was talking. He said it's in the hands of the medical staff, but it was positive that he was communicating and standing upright in the dressing room.
So he was alive.
I think it's like it's probably like a lot of sports where they probably are going to low key rush him back from a head injury when they really shouldn't.
So it is kind of like America in that regard. Yeah, ultimately, yeah, it's the cash that decides when you play again.
We need to win.
We need butts in seats. Does every stadium sell out every game? Or there's some stadiums that are like, yeah, they're not. It's like the Oakland A's. There's like 2,300
people
there.
Yeah, great question. I think there are probably some stadiums. I think they all sell. I'm actually not 100% sure. My guess is that they all sell out, but there may be some stadiums where it's easier to get like those aftermarket tickets.
Small stadiums too. There's some stadiums that are like only 12,000 people or something.
Right, exactly. But I'm not entirely sure about it.
I'll look that up and have something for us after the next game. The next match is Saturday. Are we talking what, 2:30 a.m. Pacific, 4 in the morning? How early do I have to set my DVR?
10 a.m. my time, so 7 a.m. for you.
Let's do it. I'm used to that Olympic schedule. You wake up early and something's already on.
Was there a player that you enjoyed watching? Was there somebody that you were like, oh, I like this guy?
They all looked pretty similar to me. Like, I didn't notice when I was watching the Euros, like players like popped out, like Vinny Jr. is like, holy shit, this kid's really fast. Nobody like popped out to me that much where I'm like, wow, that guy's just faster, better, stronger than everybody else.
Interesting.
There was players whose hairs were noticeable, like the blonde bowl cut that checked into the game at the 93rd minute. That was
Lucas Bergvall. Yes.
Yeah. Dennis the Menace checking in at 92.
Yeah.
04 was a little alarming, but he didn't necessarily play in a special way.
He was menacing. He was menacing. I thought that he did. He's 18.
That's cool.
I think who they put on in the when they swapped out their midfield, it was Archie Gray, also 18, Lucas Bergvall, 18, and now I can't remember I think there were four subs. But a lot of their young kids.
Can you do up to four a game? I thought you can only do one.
I don't know how many. I thought you could do five. They've changed the protocol, I think, because of injuries. And also, since Rodrigo had a head injury, that doesn't count as a sub. That's an
emergency.
You're given a freebie for that. But I don't totally know the sub rules, but I do know that the midfield got decidedly younger after the 60th minute, and you could kind of tell the game was a little bit under control until like the 18-year-olds came in, and they did well, but they weren't really controlling the game as well as the other guys.
Okay, all right. So Saturday, that's our next opportunity to get that dub. Is Everton any good?
They're not usually that good.
That should be a three pointer, as they say in the business.
We drew and lost to them last year, so
that's fair.
We're not that good all the time either.
so anything is possible.
Yeah. You really never know which Tottenham is going to show up. But if all of these chances went our way in this game, we would have won 6-1, I think. So,
do you watch the other matches? Like, are you keeping your tabs on other teams, or are you just solely locked in?
Later in the season, I will. When it really starts to matter on where our standings are. But I didn't watch any of the other opening matches this weekend. I didn't feel
like
Jill
was ready.
Do you
even know who won or lost?
Yes, I do. I know Arsenal won. I know United won. I know City won.
All
Villa
the classics.
Won. So I'm kind of keeping track on the top six teams where I want to end up in the top four. So I always know what happened at Arsenal, and then I generally know what happened everywhere else.
I mean, ultimately you want to root for the Tottenham hot fours. So like you really want to be in the top four. You want the hot spores are good, but you want a top four. Quite frankly.
Well, as Big Ange would say, you don't win a trophy for finishing in fourth, mate. Like, he doesn't care about finishing fourth, fifth, sixth.
Mate. Right.
We're just trying to... We want that Jamie Vardy point to the sleeve one, okay?
Yeah.
We're looking for that trophy. We're looking for that silverware.
They're kind of mathematically eliminated after drawing this week.
So, yeah. Right.
That can't happen.
City are on pace for
another
treble.
Yeah, 39-1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, but, cool. First know, episode in the undefeated can. To start I mean, the ultimately season. It was good. Undefeated, I really so appreciated yeah. the recap. I thought we learned mm-hmm. a lot, and I'm able to go into next week with my head held high. Do you think we record on Saturday, or what's the cadence here?
Saturday or Sunday. I feel like this has to come out at least a day or two after the episode. So we're okay. not waiting until Monday. We are going to record either. You know what? Saturday's pretty busy. Sunday will be the day that yeah. we record. But it could release Sunday night. That's my hope.
I don't know. I don't know if this is like a video or an audio thing, right? We are recording video for this first episode for sure. Right. But we'll see how that yeah. goes going forward.
Yeah, we'll see how easy it is. But at the very least, it's easy for me to sit here and talk about Tottenham. I personally love it.
Yeah, you already wanted to talk about it. So the fact that it's recorded yeah. is just an extra fine layer.
Well, if anything, I'm looking forward to you understanding soccer a little bit more so mm-hmm. we can have a discussion rather than me kind of explain what happened during the game.
But here's another weird thing. It rained like, at a certain point, but nobody yeah, felt like they were slipping the and sliding. Yeah.
No, they were. They were definitely slipping and sliding. It seemed that fine. Will always happen. That's why I wanted them to take more shots from range. What do you think about that? Because Tottenham, like I said, they're always
really
trying to
gotta
pick
go because we said 30
goal.
Minutes. And it's 30, I just 35.
Sometimes you want them to just let it fly because a keeper can make a save and the ball is going to bounce back and hit the wrong guy.
We don't
want to
go longer than a full half. Yeah.
I'm just so, genuinely. I
we'll
am
talk about
curious
it next week for
about,
sure.
Your thoughts on Ange just telling him to
like
shoot.
Everton could be a cool team for me to support too. I'm curious to see if they have any sick strikers or goalies that are tall. I'll see you on Saturday. And we'll see you guys after that.
Coys.
Boys.